This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
And a happy Friday to you and yours. It is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here, White House, Tennessee. There's our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. My man, I know we're almost ready for the weekend, but we have a lot of things to look back and a lot of things to look forward to for not just Friday, but for the weekend ahead here on VSiN by the Books.
Yes, the Washington Nationals officially dead to us all. Third time, three strikes, you're out. What an embarrassing loss yet again in the ninth inning to the Philadelphia Phillies. We have put them into the shanty, into the no-bet zone. I know we have a no-fly zone. I think the Nats are going to be in the no-bet zone, at least on the money line or the run line, for quite some time. If you stayed up late last night, I know we're going to talk a little United States soccer. A lot of implications, Dave, from the results we had yesterday and also today. It is massive, massive where the bracket could shake up for the knockout round. And I have an updated futures book for you on some of our outrights we have for the World Cup as well.
Oh, absolutely. I'm very intrigued. That's a great tease right there, Jensen Lewis. That's the way we get a Friday show started here. Thomas Gable is going to join us here just a little bit later on this hour from the Borgata in Atlantic City. Chris Meany is going to join us in hour number two. We've got the NHL draft going to go on tonight, so we'll get his breakdown on that. Lou Finocchiaro, intriguing card. You got to get up early. I'll be doing that this morning, tomorrow morning for UFC Baku. So you got to get up and switch around the body clock there. That's going to be some winners we're going to give out. And Alex Crook is going to join us in hour number three with some of those World Cup numbers that have been updated because of the results that we saw last night. So without further ado, let's get to that right here with our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
It didn't mean anything. So if we can take something from that, the 3-2 loss last night to Turkey. I know they keep switching their name around here a little bit too, Jensen. But USA does go down last night, 3-2. They had already won the group stage. So technically, it didn't matter for good old US of A. What is your takeaway from that 3-2 loss last night?
Didn't watch a minute of it. Didn't care because it didn't matter. And that's all you need to know is everyone got healthy through it. What I do have FOMO on, and if you do not follow Ryan Kramer and the SGP podcast show and him on social media, oh, you missed a banger last night. He routinely, Dave, in football season, will put out the first touchdown score props that he bets. It's usually about 3 to 5 of those. Well, he did it for the first goal score in the U.S. match against Turkey. Yay. Oh, yay. In Trusty, we trust. Austin Trusty with the early netmind. He gets it home. 45-1. Shout out to you, Ryan Kramer, nailing it. And if that is a prelude of things to come in football season, my man, we are going to have a lot of profitable primetime games. But I thought that was really neat. Turkey, yay, will go home with at least a goal and also a win now as they get it in stoppage time. But I think all in all, Dave, we got to be pretty happy with where the United States is. Update on the bracket coming later in the show when we talk some futures here. Again, I'm in on them at 35-1. More an investment, Dave, kind of in that stock market feel of I'll look for a point to sell and be able to monetize that ticket. But otherwise, the other big result, for me, how about Ecuador over Germany?
Wow.
Holy crap, what a finish that was. And they needed a win to qualify for the knockout round. Germany, nothing to play for, but Ecuador through to the knockout stage.
Yeah, very similar, right, to the United States with USA and Germany already getting through their group's stages here. Netherlands also as well in that round of 32. Australia, Ivory Coast, Ecuador now, Japan, and Sweden. I couldn't wait to talk to you about this today because we keep talking about baseball and possibly the impending doom that could be coming here. So at least, again, they're talking and they keep talking here. But Major League Baseball proposing major changes to the free agency rules in the next collective bargaining agreement. And MLBPA responding in disagreement and proposes a ban on prop betting, Jensen, which was an interesting switch here to the negotiations. What do we make of this? Is this better or worse 24 hours later?
No, this is horrendous. Again, as I told you, the magic words, salary cap, it's a non-starter. And the MLB owners and the commissioner's office, they find new ways to make it look so stupid. I know they're trying to bring in the NFL cap rules, the NBA issues, a little NHL flavor for you to try and wrap it all up into what is basically constraining the highest earners of our sport, changing how the big contracts are structured, maximum of only 5 years for those long-term deals, nothing beyond that. By the way, Dave, those owners are the ones, too, that agree on these 8, 10, 12-year deals. So it is kind of hysterical to see that kind of offer given out there. Bottom line, this is going nowhere. We will get to a lockout. As I've told you, nothing has really changed. In fact, it's probably emboldened the union in many different ways to say, you guys don't want to deal in good faith. All you're trying to do is cut costs. You don't care about competitive integrity. I will probably get much more fervor, Dave, as we get into the months after the World Series, because this is pretty embarrassing from the owner side in the commissioner's office. You would think that they would want to come to the table with something realistic. This is putrid in my eyes. Really, really bad form from the ownership side in this latest proposal.
I mean, the only thing that I'll say, and I agree wholeheartedly of like which side is the correct side to be on here. My fear is, as a fan, is that I remember 1994 very well. And at some point, the fans are not going to care who's right and who's wrong. And they're going to go, what are we doing to this sport? And it took a while. It took the great home run of Maguire Sosa, if we remember that, to bring it back years later. I hope we're not headed for that path, but it does not sound good with these updates, Jensen. So I like the realism that you're putting out there for the people this morning. The Hornets, by the way, agreeing to a new deal for a new point guard, because we know that LaMelo Ball, well, he gone. So Coby White, come on in, former Bulls draft pick from yesteryear from North Carolina, 3 years, $74 million deal. So, you know, Charlotte is one of those teams that they did move $10 to the negative after that move for Ball. They went from 90-1 to 100-1. Coby White seems like a good stopgap for 3 years here if you trade away a LaMelo Ball, no?
I would say so. You look at Naz Reid now and Coby White in the fold. Of course, LaMelo Ball on his way out now. And still, you know, with Miles Bridges, Brandon Miller. Here's the intriguing part as you move forward. Bridges is going to be an unrestricted free agent after this upcoming season. Brandon Miller will be a restricted free agent. Of course, the future is centered around Konkanipal and what they will probably accumulate not only in this upcoming draft, not what just happened, Dave, but also now moving forward with those pick swaps that they had in that monster trade with the Minnesota Timberwolves. So I think what you're doing, and you worded it perfectly in my eyes, a little stopgap, but hey, you know, Coby White is a pretty decent contributor there with the Chicago Bulls. So we'll see where they go from here. Again, I know a lot of our people on the network very, very bullish on where Charlotte was headed into this offseason. Does it change now without LaMelo Ball? Probably. But hey, we've seen some teams under the radar find their way forward. Not as many surprises now with Charlotte, but we'll see if they continue to add here in the coming weeks.
Yeah, you make that move last year midseason to get White, and now you move on from Ball, and it makes sense here that this is going to be the new guy to elevate him to the number one for at least 3 years here in kind of a stopgap and see if he can get a second start in his career there in Charlotte. And by the way, Mark Williams has re-signed with Phoenix, 3 years, $38 million deal for their big man there. Eric Cole was a big man yesterday at Hartford. We, you know, you and I are texting about the Rabbits because we got some first-round leaders out there, and they weren't named Eric Cole. So we kind of put that to bed early, 7-under. Some guys made some runs, including Scottie Scheffler that got to 6-under par yesterday. I don't want to say it's over. The betting market might say that this is over when Scottie gets off to a big first round like he did. But, Jensen, I think you and I have got some guys positioned that are right there in case Scottie doesn't run away with this thing here. I don't know that EC, who hasn't won on tour yet, or at least not in quite some time, is going to be a hold up for 4 days. But day one, pretty darn good for Eric Cole.
Oh, I was watching it early, and I remember texting him like, oh, now I got to get Keegan Bradley to go a 62. I mean, it is his home course, if you will. But that's asking a lot, and credit where it's due. If you fell into Nico Echevarria in our Bet the Build and you tailed what we had there, you're already off to a great start. You mentioned Scotty. He is a top five placement market bet for me, off to a great start. The top 20 parlay right now with Scotty, Patrick Cantlay, Xander Schauffele, if it ended today, and it doesn't, we would cash that ticket. But Tommy Fleetwood, it started poor, but man, did he finish with a flourish. So like to see that little bounce back. And very anxious to see, Dave, what the conditions are like later on. There's a lot of scoring opportunities yesterday. A lot of guys took advantage. Will we find that again? And we'd be remiss if we did not mention, you were what, 6 inches from going 3 for 3 in three individual scores as far as round unders yesterday. We get Keegan Bradley home. You get a plus money on J.J. Spahn. And if not, was it triple bogey from old Wyndham Clark? I think the little grape still coming out of him. Trying to navigate.
Yeah, we're sitting at 200 par with Wyndham Clark to get the third one home. And then all of a sudden, a triple bogey. And then he teases us with a couple more birdies coming in. He's got a birdie look on 18 to get it to 3 under. Just misses, but we'll take the plus money on the day. As you mentioned, J.J. Spahn, 400 par. Russell Henley, 400 par. The two guys that I've got some top 20s on, some outrights on, positioned well after day one. So I think you and I off on the good foot. And again, what we try to do is, and I'll give those out on X a little bit later on today, and some right here in the program, some head-to-heads I like. And then we'll see about those under props or overs, depending on how the course looks so far today. Very quickly, Gavin McKenna is expected to go number one overall in the draft tonight. Jensen, we'll talk about this more with Chris Meany. Could we dip our toe back in Toronto with this number one pick expected to be Gavin McKenna?
Don't even talk to me about that yet. It's a dangerous proposition. Maple Leafs, you're on the clock. If they haven't run the card to Gary Bettman yet, I'll be surprised for Gavin McKenna going first overall.
Yeah, I want to get invested in Toronto. Hey, the Knicks can win it for the first time since 73. Maybe finally Toronto can end that curse too. All right, let's come back. Let's talk some World Cup that we saw. And we do have some bets to give out before they start up round two of the Travelers. That's all next right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue the Friday edition of VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. And Jensen, we're going to get back to the World Cup in just a second. Talk a little bit about USA going forward. They got a round of 32 game coming up on Wednesday against Bosnia-Herzegovina. So we'll get to that in just a moment. But we mentioned with the Travelers getting ready to get underway for round number two here shortly up there in Hartford, Connecticut. Interesting day one. It's the last elevated field that we're going to see in the PGA Tour with a new look of the PGA Tour next year. So remember, this is a no-cut event. And I think because of that, Jensen, you can take some longer shots. If this was a cut event, it would change one of the plays that I've added to the card here dramatically. And I don't even know that I would necessarily have played it. So what I added overnight, and people, you know that we introduced the no-fly zone for the majors that we did last week for the U.S. Open. We'll do another no-fly zone for the British Open coming up in a couple weeks. I have said that Ludvig Åberg has been the bane of my golf existence here a lot this year. Now, he's still cashing placement markets, but outright's another story. Yesterday, very indifferent round, a lot of ups, a lot of downs, ends up at even par. Jensen, I've added the big Swede to my card. Now, this is a 5-1 play for a top 10 and ties, people. The and ties is the key. Because remember, in this elevated event with a limited field, even though he's even par, you go, well, there's an even par. Why would I want to play a top 10? He's only 3 shots out, starting off on a Friday, out of being in a tie for 10th. So I think he's going to play much better, obviously, than he played yesterday, even to get off to that terrible start. But I think what you can do here, Jensen, in a field like this, in a no-cut event, you've got 3 more days to work, baby. And as long as the big Swede is mentally in tune, which I think he is by evidence of the up and down day, if it gets going down sometimes, you can kind of mentally check out. But I don't feel like he did that. I think he's going to be live for a top 10 at 5-1. And that's the way that I've attacked the big sweep. That does not violate our no-fly zone, correct?
Yeah, we didn't have any no-fly zone. We had no hard deck for this hop, so we're in good shape there. And I think, honestly, I was pretty pleased with where our handicap was yesterday. A lot of people profiting kind of off where our ideas were and the plays that you put out on social media. So, again, a reminder, especially because Dave can fly below the hard deck close to that tee time. So make sure you have those notifications on to be able to get those in time. I think the one thing that stands out to me is we had a lot of the bigger names that also got in there with relative ease. You're thinking about the Justin Roses and also Matty Fitzpatrick right up there again. He has been really, really hot. Anyone that's farther back that you would kind of look at and say, okay, they've got, you know, maybe a 64 in them here today. They might see, you know, opportunity. Just I'm thinking along with the three round scores that you gave out with Keegan Bradley, JJ Spahn, and Wyndham Clark yesterday. Any guys that you can already see if a number is posted that people should hop on that right away?
I got three for you, and two of these guys will be involved in my head-to-head matchups today. And one is Sung J.M., who's quietly starting to play much better golf in the last month or so. And Sepp Straka, the big Austrian, not playing as well these days. So I was able to find those. And you can check out your books. And a lot of times these guys will be playing together. So that's why they're going to be going up against each other in the head-to-head markets. So I found a nice price point on Sung J.M. against Sepp Straka. This is only round two, people, before they tee it up. And Sahith Theegala had a terrible day yesterday against Corey Connors, the Canadian, who made everything. And if you know everything about Corey Connors, you know that's normally the bugaboo is going to be the putter. So I don't know if Corey Connors is going to have that hot a putting day again for a second day in a row. I don't think Sahith Theegala will play poorly like he did again yesterday. And I do think Sahith is the type of guy that might be able to put out one of those low numbers that you're talking about here, Jensen, and get back in the fight. So I played Sahith Theegala head-to-head against Corey Connors at plus money, and I played Sung J.M. against Sepp Straka. These are round two matchups only. The third guy that I mentioned, I did take a sprinkle on him at plus $1.55 in his head-to-head matchup with Scottie Scheffler, and it's Tommy Fleetwood. If you saw him at the beginning of his round yesterday, it was terrible. It's two over par making the turn. And what did he do in the back nine? He came in with five birdies, could have been seven. Fleets loves this golf course. Scottie was fantastic yesterday with that 6-under. Is Scottie going to go back-to-back 6-unders? Of course, he's world number one. He could. But something tells me playing together today might be a different fortune, and he only finished three back of Scottie yesterday. I'm going to play Tommy Fleetwood against Scottie Scheffler at that big plus money point here, and I think Tommy will be around for the weekend as well. If you want to look to live top tens at 300 par right now, Jensen, I think there's some good value to be had there, but I'm going to take a shot and roll the dice against world number one. Tommy Fleetwood is my third guy to identify here before the second round of the Travelers. Didn't get in on him pre-flop, but I do think that's a good play to make today because Scottie was on fire yesterday. Not saying he won't do it for four straight days. Normally there's one indifferent day for Scottie. That's normally early in the week. Normally it's on Thursdays. I think that indifferent day might come today. So I'm going to gobble up those price points here with Tommy Fleetwood. I want to get your initial thoughts, if I could, sir, on Wednesday against Bosnia-Herzegovina, because I know that with Team USA yesterday, it didn't mean anything against Turkey. And not to say that they played like it, but you can understand why the 3-2 defeat is not going to be devastating, we don't think, after what happened last night. It would be devastating, I would think, if we lost to Bosnia coming up on Wednesday. So solid favorites here for Team USA. I think from all the guests that we've had on, and we'll find out if that concurs later on with Alex Kruk, today on the program, that we're vastly superior to Bosnia this iteration of the World Cup. There's always a danger in taking an opponent lightly, but Jensen, this feels like a pretty good opponent in the round of 32 for Team US of A.
Yeah, but no. I think this is the part where we kind of look now that the pressure rises. The United States have really had no resistance so far in group play. And they are still, as someone put the analogy out there, and I think you'll appreciate it. It's great to see in college football when you get these group of five teams that have done really well. They find their way into the college football playoff, and then they get up against the real big boys, and they get decimated. I'm not saying that's going to happen in the knockout stage in the first round. But to think that I'd be anywhere near laying a minus price on the United States right now, I don't think I can get there just yet. Can they win this game? Sure. Is their pathway as it stands right now advantageous? Absolutely. Dave, how many times have we seen a team that has been favored to win, that is expected to win, and all of a sudden the old Polly Howard squeaky bum time? This is now pressure ratcheted up in a way, especially after a loss. Hey, you didn't play your full A squad. I get that against Turkey A, but I don't know, man. This is a different feel. Now it means something. Tomorrow is not promised. They're going to have to bring their A game. And now they're going to have to play with an urgency to not let a team like Bosnia hang around. If they do, they're in trouble. So, again, it's not a price that I would want to lay at the moment. But, again, they've set themselves up, at least pathway-wise, to be able to accomplish a lot more than I think people previously had anticipated.
Yeah, and I agree with all that. I'm just saying that I do believe that the pathway that they have, you couldn't write it as a better script, right, for US of A. Like, not saying that they will absolutely get through Bosnia, but boy, if you had your druthers, I think this would be the type of opponent that you'd want in the round of 32. So it's breaking perfectly for them, right? It's kind of set up, as we talked about with Mike Palm yesterday, for US of A to have, you know, as good a success as they can possibly have in this stage and in this round until you truly get up against potentially the big boys. So I know we keep waiting to say, well, where are we? Are we, I mean, I don't think we're saying we're on France's or Spain or some of the Argentina's, the Portugal's of the world. I don't think we're saying that we're on that level. We'd like to think we're on the level, but Bosnia is not on that level, right? So again, of course, there's a danger at any stage at this, when you get to the round of 32, but if we're being honest and we have the truth serum here, this is as good as it gets for us. Like we should, in theory, be able to roll over a Bosnia and move on here. So that's all I'm getting at here, that I don't want to lay the price point like you're saying, Jensen, at 205. That's what they are favored. The total goals right now sitting at 2.5. Obviously, they eclipsed that yesterday with 5 total goals against Turkey. So the defense was not great. I guess if there's one thing to take away from that loss last night, even though you didn't play your top guys, could you look at that, Jensen, and say, hey, we got to be better defensively because yep, we start giving up too many goals and then all of a sudden we're in shootouts and we don't want to be in those?
Yeah, sure. Always great. And I think that anytime you have opportunities to teach and then you get some time off to implement, that to me will be a great thing for this team. By and large, I think the fervor is there to see where we are at this point. Agree wholeheartedly with you that if you were going to make a deep run, if you were going to get to the quarterfinals, I made the analogy yesterday. It was like the New England Patriots playoff schedule, Swiss cheese on paper, right? But you got to win the games. You got to win the matches. And I think you got to win it convincingly.
Yeah. Let's hope. Cause again, it doesn't get to look a whole lot better than this. I won't say what the next line is from Top Gun. I would just say that he will fire when he is good and ready. We'll leave it at that. Okay, when we come back, let's talk a little bit more about the Daily Gridiron. We're going to do our countdown to Canton as we get ready for the preseason. We broke down Seattle yesterday. What about the team they beat the Super Bowl? The New England Patriots. You're on the clock next right here. Beasted by the Books.
And by the Books, right here on VSiN.
The all-new VSiN NFL betting guide is out right now. Whether you're betting futures, win totals, divisional races, MVP, Rookie of the Year, or Super Bowl odds, our guide is going to help you get ahead of the market before training camp even begins. Inside of it, you're going to find breakdowns of all 32 teams, projected win totals, best bets from all of our experts, power ratings, and so much more. You can get it today for just $175. And when you sign up, you're going to have access to everything we do through the Super Bowl next February. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. So head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSiN.com Jensen.com/subscribe. Every single show, Jensen, leading up to Canton, Ohio for the Hall of Fame game, we're going to break down one of those 32 teams. And to the victors go the spoils. We did Seattle yesterday. Please like, subscribe to the VSiN by the Books podcast and listen to that conversation on your time. Today, let's talk about the team they vanquished in the Super Bowl rather easily, and that would be the New England Patriots. So I don't know if Drake May had a shoulder issue. He was kind of frozen pizza there in the tunnel before the game. It didn't look the same, let's put it that way, in that Super Bowl game that they had led up to get to that point. It's been tumultuous, to say the least, from the head coaching perspective of Mike Vrabel in this offseason for a lot of things that have nothing to do with football. Jensen, where are we now, year two for Vrabel and year three for Drake May and company?
Yeah, we're in a spot where the hunters become the hunted, and I like this spot for this club. Already being overlooked with a lot of the offseason hype around the Buffalo Bills, and I can completely understand where people want to go with that. If you look at some of the headline moves, I did not expect Romeo Doubs getting 4 years and $80 million. But come on down. Congratulations. Cash those checks. I think we kind of knew and appreciate some of those in the media that might have had Cornell knowledge on A.J. Brown being a member of the New England Patriots here this offseason. It ends up working out to where ultimately, Dave, Drake May gets that true bona fide number one receiver. And taking nothing away from Stephon Diggs last year, because I think he was very serviceable, but I mean, at this point in their careers, there's no comparison, right? We know that A.J. Brown is that guy that changes the game just with one play. I think the other additions, Elijah Vera Tucker coming over from the Jets. Again, we talk about bolstering an offensive line. How can you continue to keep the quarterback upright and healthy, even a mobile one in Drake May? So that, I think, a big, big addition to the interior offensive line. Dremont Jones, also the edge rusher, 3 years, almost $40 million. Kevin Byard, the third, safety in the back end, a veteran leader. He's had, I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, Dave, I feel like he played with under Vrabel with the Titans, in Tennessee. I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah.
So you've got some good additions. And obviously in the draft, another big offensive lineman in Caleb LeMove from Utah. Very athletic swing tackle with length. They trade up into round two there at pick 55, getting an edge rusher, Gabe Jockus there from Illinois. And then Eli Raridan, the tight end from Notre Dame, in round three. So offense, clearly an upgrade, right? Offensive line, you get a primary number one weapon on the outside. The defense, which was already good, Dave, a calling card for them last year, big reason why they had all those wins. I think there's incremental improvement from there. Now, when you look at where they are, I think the first thing that jumps out to me, Dave, is the schedule. Of course. I mean, the schedule is way tougher for them this year than it was last. Look at that first four. Seahawks to open the year. Home against the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers. We'll see how it goes. On the road in Jacksonville. On the road at Buffalo. Okay. If you hold your nose and tell me that, yeah, I think they can be 3-1. I was like, I don't know. All the pressure going to be on them. 2-2 would be amazing. But more importantly, Dave, if you could only go 2-2 in the first four, obviously, you know, you'd want to have the head-to-head win against Buffalo, right? It's AFC East, a divisional opponent. You want that. If you could cherry pick one other win to have, would it be against Seattle? Would it be Jacksonville or Pittsburgh? If you said, all right, they're going 2-2, but you can only have two specific wins to pick from.
And I know everybody in the fan base would say, let's make it Seattle, get our revenge for the Super Bowl. But that game is not as important as the other two that'd be right on deck. And that'd be Pittsburgh and or Jacksonville, because you're talking about tiebreakers potentially for a wild card spot if you can't win your division. And that's exactly where I wanted to go with this football team. I've got much bigger concerns about this team than maybe you and I look at this juncture of the season. And a lot of that is Mike Vrabel and the elephant in the room, and that there were whispers whether or not he'd even make it to week one. He's going to make it to week one. And it's going to be fine until it's not fine. And what we're talking about is, if things go south early, guys in that locker room might look around differently at him. I'm talking about his star running back, Travion Henderson. I'm talking about some other players that might have, you know, hey, we'll put up with all the other shenanigans. You don't put up with some of the things that we do, and all of a sudden you're out there doing things that are bringing different lights to this organization, and it's not in a good light. And so that's going to change sometimes the perception in that locker room if things go south. So what I would advise, there's one number in the futures market that I don't like for this team at all. You're telling me I got to lay 225 for this football team to make the playoffs? Are you insane? Not with my money. No chance. You want to bet them to win the division at plus money, plus $1.25? Okay, I could be on board with that. But if they don't win the division, and then you look at the landscape of the rest of the AFC East, you tell me that this football team with that schedule is a lock to make the postseason? Absolutely not. The conference is too deep as a whole. So all of a sudden, you start getting into whether it's going to be the Jacksonville's. I think that the Tennessee Titans are going to be better in the South this year. I think it could be about three or four teams that could be vying for playoff spots that are non-divisional winners. We know how good the AFC West is going to be with the top three there. You would think a couple of wild card spots could possibly get gobbled up by the non-divisional winner there. I think we all think Baltimore is going to be vastly improved from a year ago, and Pittsburgh was a divisional winner there. We think Cincinnati is going to be vastly better this year. All of a sudden, you start doing the musical chairs for non-divisional winners, and people are going to sit down in those chairs rather quickly. And if you're the Patriots and you want me to lay 225 to make the postseason and they don't win the division, absolutely not, Jensen. To me, that is a red flag and a rather large one. So they better figure out a way to compete with Buffalo for this division, or else Mike Vrabel and company might have a much longer offseason than the one they had a year ago. So to me, we might be at odds on this one. This is a fade team for me right away. There's no way I'm playing that over win total, 10.5. I could only look to the under. And again, I like what they've done offensively. On paper, they should be better than a team that went to the Super Bowl. I do trust Mike Vrabel and his coaching capacity, certainly defensively, but there's a lot of question marks about where they are mentally as a team. And I've seen it spiral with a head coach many times. I know it's Washington, D.C., and I know Mike Vrabel is supposed to be a different cat, but I've seen it happen firsthand way too often. That's a lot of variables for me to hop in on minus 225 for a team to say that they're a lock to win to make the postseason. Jensen, I just don't see it that way.
This reminds me of for you Game of Thrones fans, where Jon Snow, you know, pulls the huge sword out when it's the onslaught of the White Walkers. That's me. Oh. That's Adam Burke. And I know we have one other brave soul out there. We're the only three that picked in our VSiN NFL betting guide the Patriots to win this division. Dave, couple of cool trends. And again, another great reason to become a VSiN Pro subscriber, getting access to our NFL betting guide. Just that first game, right? The season opener. Seattle is on a 5-1-1 ATS run against New England, but the over is 7-1. In the last 8 head-to-head matchups. So again, if you're looking to lock in anything early in week one, a couple of great trends there. And then the very next week against Pittsburgh at home, under the total is 7-2 in the last 9 head-to-heads. Anxious to see where that will go in overreaction week. But one other question to ask you. You're obviously in Survivor. A lot of people listening will be in various pools. If you had to cherry pick right now, are you saving New England for a home game against perhaps Kirk Cousins and the Raiders there in week 5? Would that be the earliest you'd want to pop them there in Survivor?
Quite possibly, because I do think that they're going to get off on a rough foot. Like that first 4 games, like I think if they come out of that 2-2, Jensen, that's okay. Like, in a 17-week season, I don't think that that's terrible if you're a Patriot fan and they come out of that thing 2-2. Now you would think, you come back 2-2, you better get that win against the Raiders up there in Foxborough. That might be exactly the type of spot where you'd look at that juncture of the season. Look, if they lose week 1 against Seattle, I wouldn't panic at all. Where I would start to look, as you mentioned, Jacksonville and Pittsburgh, those games are teams that they should be winnable. Whether, you know, at home, on the road, doesn't matter. They should be better. And if they're not and they lose those games, that's where you're going to start to go, uh-oh, is there going to be some talking inside that locker room? Are they looking at the head coach differently this year? Because everybody looked at Mike Vrabel last year and went, wow, this is an amazing job he did from turning this franchise around. And in one off season, I hope all that goodwill hasn't gone away. From a coaching capacity, the guy is brilliant. From what happened in the off season, it's brought new light on that organization that they do not want. But guess what, people? You got it. We're going to go to the Borgata next when we come back. Thomas Cable, he's got some future thoughts in the NFL as well. That's next right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Friday morning. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. We always look forward to our conversations with TG Thomas Gable. He is the director of racing sports at the Borgata in Atlantic City. Give him a follow on X at T Gable Sports. Joins us now here on the Progressive Guest Line. Thomas, good Friday morning to you, sir. We were just having a conversation about the Patriots. And, you know, Jensen and I aren't, we're not Oppo very often. We might be Oppo on this football team this year. I'm curious, here in mid to late June, they're in your neck of the woods. And I know, like, the Buffalo Bills call themselves the New York State's team. Where are we on the Patriots in that neck of the woods? Are people buying in for a second year in a row under Mike Vrabel?
Yeah, I think with the AFC East, it's an interesting division because it's really a tale of the haves and the have-nots. And certainly in New England with the defending AFC champs there, and then you also have the Bills, who are basically picked every year, possibly to get to the Super Bowl. They're the haves. And then you have two of the lowest power-rated teams in the entire NFL, and the Jets and Dolphins, as the have-nots. So, you know, with the Patriots, obviously, this is the competition for Buffalo in the division. They've had a very interesting offseason. We won't go into any personal items here, but unless you've been living under a rock for the past few months, you know Coach Vrabel may have a few distractions going on. That being said, they did trade for A.J. Brown. Again, no surprise there, as that was reported for months. Hopefully for New England fans, he doesn't start a book club this season on the sidelines. And if he stays engaged and gets targets, I don't think there's any doubt he's going to help Drake May. But 1 year ago, the Patriots, you know, they enjoyed success with one of the easier schedules in the league. This year, it will be more difficult. Win total set at 9.5. And thus far, we have seen bettors pretty optimistic in betting that win total over. They've also attracted the most money on them to win this division, which we currently have them priced at +145. Now, obviously, again, it's the Bills who they are going to be competing with here for the division title. Bills favored at -150. And they've been priced around that since we opened the futures, anywhere from $1.40 to $1.55. But they also have the shortest odds to win the AFC at 5-1. We also have the Ravens there at 5-1. New head coach in Buffalo, obviously someone who has lots of experience with Josh Allen. Offensively, the team's going to be fine. I do have questions on the defense, which honestly I think has been lacking a championship caliber to them. They've dealt with injuries in previous seasons, yes, but I feel like they were also lacking size, and they just lack that shutdown quality that you really need to win championships. Season win total for Buffalo, they're set at 10.5. So far, all the money has been on the over there with the Bills. And then when you kind of get down into the have-nots there, let's start with the Jets. New quarterback, Geno Smith. Backup, in case you were wondering, is Cade Klubnik, who they drafted in the fourth round. This is not a deep quarterback room. We opened their win total of 5.5. We actually saw some decent money taking the over. If you want to play the under 6.5 wins, you'll be paying $1.75 in juice. And I always like saying this every season, and I get to say it again this season. The Jets are our biggest liability to win the AFC in a Super Bowl. Now, before anyone's head explodes, we see this every year, people. It's due to our location and obviously Jets fans just donating their money. And when you have odds of 250-1 and 125-1, respectively, for the Super Bowl and AFC, well, the liability adds up pretty quickly there. So that leaves Miami, one of the lowest win totals on the board at 4.5. Only Arizona also has a 4.5 there. We've seen some respected money come in on the under when we first opened the win totals. This is going to be a completely new-look Dolphins team. This is now Malik Willis's team. While he's played well in the backup role to Jordan Love in Green Bay, this is a very tough schedule to try and eke out 5 wins to get over that 4.5 total. 35-1 to win the division. We've had a few brave souls take the plunge there. Nothing real serious there in terms of Dolphins futures, but the win total there from Miami has been pretty popular on the under of 4.5.
TG, cannot wait to week in and week out as we get closer to the crescendo of football season, both in the NFL and on the college gridiron side. A lot to talk about there as well. The world's football, what we're watching in the World Cup right now, we're over the halfway point. We got more tickets punched last night. A game or a match that Team USA really had no implications for them whatsoever, except to get out of it healthy. Kind of felt like the NFL preseason week number three, right? Where, you know, it's the dress rehearsal. Let's kind of make sure everyone's good to go. As you sit for the futures market, it's something that I tackled at 35-1. More to think, if the U.S. got to the quarterfinal round, I'd want to start monetizing that ticket. It looks like their pathway on paper looks pretty advantageous. Where do you guys currently sit at the Borgata for the World Cup future to win it overall? And then maybe a little Team USA centric as well.
Yeah, you know, Team USA has been an interesting story in the futures because game to game, well, the first two games for sure, especially that the second game against Australia, it was completely one-way traffic there in the United States. And, you know, it was a decent-sized loss for us in that one, as well as the first game, too, in the tournament. So, I wasn't sure what we were to expect last night, with obviously the game not meaning really anything to their futures. And aside from collecting a lot of the parlay money that the U.S. was included on, you know, it was a decent result. It certainly didn't make up for the Australia game with that loss. But the futures has been what's the interesting story, because pre-tournament, we weren't attracting much action at all on the United States futures. It was really after last Friday's game against Australia that we saw a bunch of money come in on United States futures to win the cup. So we went from United States being a pretty good result in the future book now to being pretty much a break-even small loser overall for the World Cup title. So I expect, the futures to continue to come in on the United States. Everybody knew last night, really, the game didn't mean anything for the United States. Now going up against Bosnia, and I think it's going to be a lot of patriotic money here coming in on their futures. In terms of the overall market there, Argentina has attracted some money. We have a little bit of liability on them. They're currently priced 6-1. France and Spain, we're in good shape on both of them. And Portugal's actually some liability there. They're currently at 9-1. But you know, the two favorites that are priced right now, France and Spain. France at +375, Spain +550. We're in decent shape with.
TG, it seems bizarre to say, but we're only just a couple weeks away from the Midsummer Classic and the All-Star break here in Major League Baseball. And I wonder, in your neck of the woods, I look up today and I see the Phillies. Boy, if they could play the Nationals every day, they'd never lose a game against that bullpen. 13-1 to win the World Series now for the fighting Phils. The Yankees are down about around 5-1. I know Philadelphia would have to get through the Dodgers theoretically here, but are you seeing a lot of Phillies money coming in? It feels like the managerial change in Donnie Baseball, they've just righted the ship instantly.
They really did. It was it's literally as soon as the manager change was made. And listen, I think the Phillies, they obviously have now been kind of making a run at the Braves in the division. Lots of baseball still to play, so certainly capable of taking them over. But I think when it comes to the playoffs, the Phillies, if they have Sanchez and Wheeler healthy in the playoffs, they're going to be a dangerous, dangerous team to have that 1-2 combination there at the top of the rotation. So, I mean, again, we're heavily skewed there with the local money. Phillies to win the World Series is a very bad result at this point for us. But, you know, again, they have a lot of competition to get through in the NL. Most especially there with the Dodgers sitting pretty much at even money right now to win the pennant. And you're not really seeing many people want to take that, not much return there on the Dodgers. So Dodgers are a great result for us to win the NL pennant. The Braves and Phillies actually are both bad for us in the NL. But Again, a lot of baseball still to be played, and some other teams that can certainly say something about that, including the Brewers and the like. So,
TG, as a long-suffering Metropolitan fan, I wish I could say we could help you out in the futures market there against Atlanta and Philadelphia, but I don't know that we're going to have any resistance here going forward. Thomas, appreciate you as always, my friend. Everybody, if you're out there in Atlantic City area, go over to the Borgata, say hi to TG, check him out. Does a great job running the Borgata, the race in sports there. When we come back, Jensen, let's talk a little bit more, and we're going to hear from Eric Winalda and see who might be the golden boot and who he thinks could be a good value play. That's all next right here on VSiN by the Books.